Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into another episode of Believe in Kentucky. My name is Vinny Hardy, coming to you on Believe Podcast Network, Believe.com. Go straight to the site, check out all the past episodes of the show, tell your friends about it, check out upcoming episodes of the show as well. Be sure to rate, review, subscribe, and all that good stuff. You can get every episode coming to you at your convenience, there on demand. Got a fun one today. Got a episode where we kind of reminisce, kind of sad, but it's still fun. We're going to be talking about, of course, the passing of Kentucky coach Joe B. Hall, who passed Saturday morning before the basketball game at 1 o'clock, when Kentucky hosted the Tennessee Volunteers at Rupp Arena. Joe B. Hall, Kentucky through and through, coached the Cats from 1972 to 1985. So he was already in year five as a coach when I was born. He was the coach when I first remember Kentucky basketball. We've had Roger Harden, former UK point guard, on this podcast before, who was the point guard, the first point guard that I remember at Kentucky when I was 6 or 7 years old. Roger was the point guard for Coach Hall, and Joe B. was, of course, the head coach. So a lot of tributes poured in. As a matter of fact, I'll read Roger's tweet that he tweeted out yesterday. BBN, nobody gave their heart and soul to UK basketball like Coach Hall. He loved the BBN and was a proud Kentuckian. An honor to play for him. Will miss my lifelong friend. He was the only friend I ever needed. So tributes like that poured in, of course, from former players. Kenny Walker, who we also had on this podcast before, was on the pregame show. I think the KSR pregame show, of course, reminiscing and talking about Coach Hall. You saw other players from other sports. Shane Boyd, former UK quarterback, talked about how close he was to Coach Hall and the relationship they had. So it was a big outpouring, everybody remembering the memories of Coach Hall. Oscar Combs, who is a Kentucky historian, knows it better than everybody, founded the Cats Paws, knew Joe B. from way back. Y'all remember a few years ago, Oscar did a podcast called the Oscar Combs Podcast. Well, they did 4 episodes of that podcast where they interviewed Joe B. Hall. It's about 2016, about 5 years ago, 6 years ago. Spent the whole day with him, like 6 hours, split it up into 4 different episodes, Oscar and Bo Robinson, and got memories and stories and recollections and reflections from Joe B's early life all the way to his time as a player, to his time as an assistant coach, to his time as the head coach. His life story is in those 4 episodes of the podcast. So definitely go back and listen to those and get those recollections that are captured there so well in Oscar Combs' podcast. So lots of reflection on Joe B. Hall, as you would expect. Coach Cal had tweeted out that he had went to see him a couple days ago, and his health had been declining the past couple years. And Coach Cal said he'd ask him to be the why at the game against Tennessee, and said Joe B just laughed because, you know, just health-wise, he just wasn't able to do it. But he chuckled at the thought of being able to do that. Goose Givens had on before. We were able to go and see him right there. The day before he passed, everybody was able to go and tell him they loved him. And, you know, 93 years old, born in 1928, just turned 93 in November. Cal honored him yesterday by coming out with the Road Up program, which Coach Hall always had that program in his hand on the sidelines during the games. Cal also started off the first defensive possession in the 1-3-1. Oscar Shibway didn't even, you know, attempt to win the tip-off, just let Tennessee control the tap. Cats come down and opened up in a 1-3-1, which was Joby Hall's signature defense. And Coach Hall and Cal were, of course, very, very close. And Coach Hall was always on Cal. You need to play a 1-3-1. Play a 1-3-1. Run a 1-3-1. And so it was fitting for Coach Cal to do the tribute to Coach Hall, open up in the 1-3-1. Tennessee did score off that possession. Cal mentioned that in the post-game session. You know, they got a booking right off the bat. But, you know, they don't play that a lot. Didn't have time to prepare. Just kind of threw it in there and said, this is what we're going to do, because didn't have really a lot of time to do the tribute. He passed away Saturday morning. They're playing an early game. But it, to me, was the equivalent of when Coach John Schlarman, UK's former offensive line coach, passed away, and they left the left guard spot open on the offensive line for him at that Vanderbilt game as a tribute to him. Then you had the offensive lineman alternate who wore Coach Larman's number 65 jersey, and how that tradition started. So the same thing with Cal having the program, which he said he will carry the rest of the season, open up the game in the 1-3-1 against Tennessee, because Coach Hall always played the 1-3-1. And you just have to think about Coach Hall too. As Roger Harden tweeted, you know, pure Kentucky. He played for this trifecta for Joby Hall, played at Alumni Gym, coached at Memorial Coliseum, and coached at Rupp Arena. Nobody else has that. Nobody else can say they've done that trifecta except Joby Hall. Coming in as a coach replacing Adolph Rupp, who was coach from 1930 to 1972, won 4 national championships. That's who Joby Hall followed. And those were the shoes he was having to fill. A lot of pressure, a lot of expectations. Kentucky's tradition has been that way forever. And Joby Hall came in and kept it going. You know, it could have been a fork in the road moment. Kentucky basketball could have faded and never maintained the level of success that it has for all these years. Or it could have been sustained like it has been. And Joby Hall was able to keep it going and sustain it in spite of the huge expectations. In spite of the, you know, the fans being upset with some of the teams that didn't win championships, the 75 team, the 77 team, the 84 team, won it all in 78, went to 3 Final Fours in his 13 seasons. And to me, I think he, you know, fair or not fair, the expectations were what they were, but he walked into it in 72 when Adolph Rupp's tenure ended. Joby Hall walks into a program that has already been waiting for a title since 1958. Adolph Rupp's last championship was 1958. Joby Hall steps in 1972. And the drought is already almost a decade and a half long. He wins a title in years, gets there in 72, wins it in 78, comes close in 75 and 77. So he kind of had carryover expectations and pressure from the drought that was already there when he stepped in. And he weathered all of that. There were still, like we see now, fans aren't always happy with coaches. You see people fussing, why is Cal taking this guy out? He's on fire. Heard the same thing as a kid with Coach Hall. Guy's on fire, next thing you know, Joe Hall takes him out. So all of that was there. All those expectations were there. All the pressure, all the scrutiny. Always been that way. When you follow Kentucky, when you're coaching of Kentucky, Coach Hall knew that, stepped into that, still won a title. Really became beloved once Cal was the coach, since 2010. Brought him back. He was always at practice. He was always around the program. Cal went out of his way to show him a lot of love and make him feel welcome. So, and then you think about Coach Hall, too. This was even kind of pre-iHeartRadio, pre-listening to everything you want on your phone at the tap of a button. He does a radio show post-retirement with Denny Crum, the Louisville coach, your most bitter rival, coaching against each other for years. The Louisville program is doing well. Denny Crum wins a couple titles after Kentucky. Coach Hall wins in 78. Louisville and Denny Crum win titles in 80 and 86. They both retire. They do a radio show together every day. And talk about fishing, and talk about basketball, talk about funny stuff. They're just cracking each other up. And towards the end of the show, you start getting the iHeart stuff, and I can listen to this. You click on it, used to listen to them in the afternoons, and it was a fun show. They were just kicking it, just talking about whatever they want to talk about, and having a good old time. And you just had to love it. So he was very lovable. Everybody enjoyed being around him. All the tributes show that. And so it was good to see everybody kind of recognize everything Coach Hall had done. And then that led up to the game against Tennessee. 10 team averaging, giving up 60 points a game. Ranked opponent. They had dismantled Arizona earlier in the season at home in Knoxville. Kentucky. It was something that fans wanted to see, kind of needed to see. Last year's 9-16 team, worst team in the history of University of Kentucky basketball. Fast forward to this year, lose to a close game to Duke, go up to Notre Dame, lose that game, go down to LSU, come up short down there. Really shorthanded as far as the backcourt was concerned. But weren't able to pull those games out. So you know they're going to be good. You know they're going to be much improved. There's no way that they're going to be 9-16 like they were last year. They've got shooting. They've corrected a lot of those flaws. But you just want to kind of see it come together against a good team, against a ranked team. You saw the stats. Kentucky in their last so many games against ranked opponents. And it was horrible. It's gonna be horrible when you're just coming off of your worst season ever. When you're 9-16, that's gonna tank your record against ranked opponents. Now, some go back a little bit further than that, and it's not super duper, but if you just go throw in last year and go your record against ranked opponents, of course, it's gonna be awful. So Tennessee comes in ranked, really good defensive team, second to LSU, who's a good defensive team, who clamp Kentucky down in Baton Rouge. Like we mentioned, Kentucky was without a couple of ball handlers. But it is what it is. You got to play. At least you got the win down there. Kentucky jumps on Tennessee. And has 52 points at halftime. Tennessee's giving up 60 points per game. Kentucky drops 52 on them in a half. Follows up with the second half and drops 55 more on them for a 107-79 victory. It was the first time they had scored over 100 on Tennessee since 01, when Kentucky won 103-95 in Knoxville. Last time they scored 100 before that was 1993 when Kentucky beat them 101-40 in the SEC championship, in the SEC tournament, which was in Lexington that year. And that was kind of in revenge of a game that Kentucky had lost by one in Knoxville a few weeks earlier. Ty Washington has 28 points. The actual margin of victory, Kentucky wins by 28 points. Oscar Tshiebwe, I mean, he was kind of quiet. He had, 9 points and 12 rebounds? Let's see what it was. Yeah, 9 points, 12 rebounds. But there weren't a lot of missed shots to be had. Kentucky shot 68% from the field, 61% from three-point land, 95% from the line, 20 and 21 from the free throw line. So there's not a lot of missed shots for Oscar to get yesterday. And look at Tennessee for the most of the game. They were 50% from three. They shot 53.4% for the game. And Kentucky was able to offset that by the way that they played yesterday. Tennessee came in and played well, scored 79 points, and got blown out. And it could have got a lot uglier a lot faster. They were hitting some deep threes that kind of kept them in it. Kind of, well, you can live with them taking those kind of threes, and they were hitting them. You know, they had 7 or 8 threes that they had made. At one point, they had 41 points, and 7 of those were three-pointers, and 5 or 6 of those were probably like, ah, okay, well, if he makes that, okay, tip your hat, because it was deep, and it was, you know, probably not the ideal shot, and they were making them. So they weren't able to really kind of sustain that for the game. And Kentucky was just lights out. Rick Barnes basically said it, you know, got their tails kicked in every aspect of the game. And Kentucky kind of put it all together, kind of put it together and showed glimpses of the team that they can be. And the timing of this is really good. You had your first test, well, your second test. You had a test against LSU, but you had your first test kind of at full strength against a ranked opponent, Tennessee number 22. You got Auburn coming up, Kansas, Alabama, a lot more ranked teams. And now you're kind of playing well with this confidence that, hey, you know, they're good, but so are we. We know what we're capable of. And, you know, you can, of course, do your thing at home, but have confidence now when you go on the road. You know, took a few lumps on the road, but now you know what you're capable of against ranked opponents. So it was really, really cool to see that yesterday. Going back to Joby Hall, a couple more things real quick. The midnight madness is that we see now, where teams used to have that first practice at midnight, like October 15th, the first day you could practice. Midnight madness was started by Joby Hall. He was the first one to do it, had it at Memorial Coliseum. And of course, you know, the Kentucky fans were there to see that first practice. Everybody does it now. Coach Hall started that. He was an innovator in that regard. You hear him talk about the weight training and having guys lift weights. And he talked about how getting a little wintry mix outside. So you might hear a little snow and sleet kind of hitting. So that's what that is in the background. Weight training and how fans and people used to say, hey, you don't do that, you're going to mess up the guy's shots. But he was really big into conditioning in the late 70s, in the late 80s. And we see everybody, of course, doing that now. But Coach Hall was doing it way, way, way back in the day. So just a lot of things that he gets credit for, a lot of things that he did way kind of before it was the norm. He was doing it at Kentucky. Yeah, it was just so many things that we are accustomed to seeing. They had to start somewhere, and Joby Hall started a lot of those things, got the ball rolling on a lot of those things. So condolences to his entire family and, you know, the entire BBN. I'm definitely going to miss Coach Joby Hall. Got to flip to football real quick. You know, NFL playoffs started this weekend. Adam Griggs, who we had on this podcast as well, talking UK football. He covers UK football for Big Blue Express. He's also a Cincinnati Bengals fan. Now, for everybody not familiar with Kentucky, Cincinnati is the unofficial, official pro sports city for a big portion of the state of Kentucky. And the Bengals and the Reds are right there, just up the road from Lexington, not far from Louisville. A lot of people in northern Kentucky, central Kentucky, even southeastern Kentucky, where I'm from, follow the Reds, and some follow the Bengals too. So the Bengals played yesterday afternoon after the Kentucky-Tennessee game. So for the BBN that are Bengals fans, it's a big double dip day, college basketball, NFL football. The Bengals history, football hasn't been great. Made it to a couple Super Bowls, lost them both to the 49ers. Hadn't been to the playoffs since 2015. Hadn't had a playoff win since 1991. You know, Boomer Esiason, who's on CBS now as an analyst, was the QB for the Bengals last time they won a game in the playoffs. Adam Griggs, Big Blue Express, put out a tweet, one of those dilemma type questions. Would you allow a UK loss to Tennessee if it meant the Bengals won their playoff game? Of course, he tweeted this out Saturday morning before both of the games. He says, I hate these kinds of questions, but yes, I would. He was saying he would allow a Kentucky loss to Tennessee if it meant the Bengals beat the Raiders. Well, maybe a lot of Bengals fans might have agreed. Me, as a Cowboys fan, I was like, absolutely not. There's no way I want to see a Kentucky loss to Tennessee in Rupp Arena, which would have been three straight losses to the Vols in Rupp. They had won the last two in Rupp Arena. Teams just don't come into Rupp Arena and win. Tennessee was on a two-game winning streak in Rupp against Kentucky coming into yesterday. And the Bengals fans were like, can we deal with a loss to Tennessee that means the Bengals win? But you hadn't seen the Bengals win a playoff game in 30 years. I get it. You definitely wanted to see it. Fortunately, it didn't come to that because both teams got wins yesterday. Kentucky manhandled Tennessee, and the Bengals did their thing against the Raiders. You know, Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase got the better of Derek Carr and the Raiders. So the Bengals are moving on. So congratulations to the Bengals fans and, of course, to the BBN. It'll be my turn to sweat later on today when the Cowboys host the 49ers. Back in the 90s, like it used to be every year, Cowboys and Niners. So we get to revisit that. So get the Cowboys win today to go with the Kentucky win yesterday. And I'll be feeling on cloud nine, be hopping around on cloud nine just like the Bengals fans are. So just wanted to throw that out there. That was a cool tweet by Adam. We'll have to get him back on the podcast again sometime too. But it's been another fun episode of Believe in Kentucky. Hope y'all enjoy it. If you got questions or anything, feel free to shoot them at us on Twitter at Believe in Kentucky on Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram. Follow us there. My name is Vinny Hardy. Follow me at Vinny Hardy on Twitter. Subscribe, rate, and review. Hope you enjoy it. Hope you have a good weekend. We'll be back with another episode soon. Oh, hey, how dare me forget La Terrain watches too. I talk about them every episode. I'm trying to not talk about them on this one. What is wrong with me? Go to LaTerrain.com. Get your watches for the men, the women, the accessories, different styles, different bands, whatever you like. La Terrain has got it, and it's not insanely expensive, but it's well made, and it goes with whatever your outfit. If you're casual, if you're formal, La Terrain has got you. We've had the owner, Dave, on here talking about these wonderful watches. La Terrain, LaTouraine.com, LaTouraine.com, and get yourself a wonderful timepiece. Now we'll end this episode of Believe in Kentucky. We'll see you next time on the next episode. Everybody take care, and we'll see you later, BBN. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.